Good morning, everyone. Today is Palm Sunday, and it's just a week to go before Easter. So let's read the Bible account of Palm Sunday and see what happened. You'll find this in Matthew chapter 21 and verses 1 to 11. So if you've got your Bibles open, off we go. Jesus comes to Jerusalem as king. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied there, with her colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, say that the Lord needs them, and he will send them right away." This took place to fulfil what was spoken through the prophet, "Say to daughter Zion, see your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey and on a colt, the foal of a donkey." The disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them, and they brought the donkey and the colt and placed their cloaks on them for Jesus to sit on. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest heaven!" When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, "Who is this?" The crowds answered, "This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee." When we look at this passage, it would be easy to look forward and think, here's Jesus and he's really popular, everyone is out on the street to welcome him and it's great. You can imagine them calling out, "Hosanna, you son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Make way for Jesus. Welcome, Jesus." And yet, just a few days later, as we get to Passover weekend, it all seems to be going so wrong. What's happening? Let's have a look to see what's going on and what this means for us. To start, we need to go back a little way. The journey that Jesus was making to Jerusalem actually started back in Capernaum. And as he travelled with his disciples, he met with groups and crowds of people and taught them all, as well as performing miracles. And on the way in Caesarea Philippi, Jesus foretold his death and his resurrection to his disciples. We'll find this in Matthew chapter 16. Verse 21 tells us, "From that time on, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hands of the elders, the chief priests and the teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and on the third day be raised to life." Peter challenged Jesus on this, but Jesus rebuked him and told his disciples, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will find it." Now Jesus was quite clear that he expected to die and be resurrected, but more shockingly, that he expected his followers to give up their own lives and commit everything to him. A bit further on the journey, when they reached Galilee, and you'll find this in Matthew chapter 17, Jesus told his disciples again. When they came together in Galilee, he said to them, "The Son of Man is going to be delivered into the hands of men. They will kill him, and on the third day, he will be raised to life." And the disciples were filled with grief. So the message is starting to hit home with the disciples. Jesus will die. But they maybe haven't yet grasped the second part, that Jesus will be raised to life. A bit further along the journey, for the third time, Jesus tells his disciples about his death. And this is just the chapter before the one we've read as our main reading. Matthew chapter 20. Now Jesus was going up to Jerusalem. On the way, he took the 12 aside and said to them, "We're going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be delivered over to the chief priests and the teachers of the law. They will condemn him to death, and will hand him over to the Gentiles to be mocked and flogged and crucified. On the third day, he will be raised to life." Now, there's a bit more detail here about what will happen to Jesus and exactly who's going to be involved. We have the chief priests and elders initially dealing with him and condemning Jesus to death by choosing Barabbas. But then, to keep their hands clean over the Sabbath, they hand Jesus on to the Romans, the Gentiles, to do the deadly deed. But look again. There is the promise of Jesus being raised to life. So, we have Jesus knowing that he will soon die in Jerusalem and coming into the city, yet being welcomed and lauded by the crowds. We're going to take a break now, and there's a question to answer. It's like last week, if you have others in your home you can discuss with it, the question with, then please do that. If you haven't, you could consider phoning a friend. The question to consider is some words of Jesus. Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will find it. What do you think this meant to the disciples at the time? We'll have a couple of minutes and then we'll come back. Well, I hope you found that an interesting question to discuss, and there'll be a further opportunity for you to discuss it with your friends in life groups, along with some other questions this week. Now we're going to come to the passage that we read. Imagine that you are one of the disciples following Jesus down from the slopes of the Mount of Olives, walking towards Bethphage, and ahead of you, the track goes through the village and down to the valley before climbing through the outer suburbs of Jerusalem. It's about a mile to go, so probably not much further than the journey from Argyle into Broad Street, Reading. This is only a fairly short journey, but it's full of symbolism that tells us who Jesus is, what the crowds thought, and ultimately why everything came to a head at Passover. Firstly, let's look at Jesus' chosen form of transport into Jerusalem, a young donkey. Now, if you went to Windsor and heard that the Prince of Wales was going to visit the Queen at Windsor Castle, you might decide to go and stand in Thames Street below the castle walls and watch his arrival. You could very well expect a grand car, or maybe a coach and splendid horses, or maybe even in past times, a knight in full armour on a war horse, also dressed in armour, standing tall. But you would be very surprised to see Prince Charles arrive on a donkey. To see why Jesus chose a donkey for his travel, we need to look back into the Old Testament to the book of Zechariah in chapter 9. This says, "The coming of Zion's king. Rejoice greatly, daughter Zion. Shout, daughter Jerusalem, see your king comes to you righteous and victorious, lowly and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." Let's just compare that to the quote that was in Matthew chapter 21 verse 5, which says, "Say to daughter Zion, see your king comes to you gentle and riding on a donkey, and on a colt, the foal of a donkey." So it's very similar. And this is a prophecy picture in Zechariah of the future coming of Zion's king, the Messiah, who's going to bring salvation. And as we read on in Zechariah chapter 9, we find that this Messiah, this king, is going to speak peace to the nations and free prisoners, and the Lord God will save his people and protect them, and his rule will be from sea to sea. In other words, he will rule across the whole earth. Now, as we look at Matthew, we can see that prophecy coming true as Jesus asserts that he is that Messiah by riding into Jerusalem on the foal of a donkey. The Messiah is the Lord, the ruler, and so by coming into Jerusalem this way, Jesus asserts that he is the rightful ruler of Jerusalem, and he's also the ruler of the world. The donkey is also a symbol of peace because this king comes to bring peace and healing to the world, not war and destruction. And it is a young foal never ridden so its first use or dedication is to God's work. Secondly, what do the crowd think? Well, they recognise the messianic symbolism and they go ahead and behind Jesus shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." Hosanna means, "Oh, save," or "save us." This is recognition that the Messiah, Jesus, is also the saviour that they are looking for. The crowd put their coats on the ground in front of the donkey, a symbol of submission to Jesus, and they also wave palm branches, which is a symbol of victory and also a symbol of Jewish nationalism. Now, all these things are guaranteed to stir up ordinary Jewish people's interest and also upset both the Jewish religious leaders and the Roman occupiers. Jerusalem was already a place where there had been previous unrest between the Jews and the Romans, and this was a bit like waving a red rag towards a bull, guaranteed to bring Jesus to the leaders' attention and heighten their resolve to get rid of him. We can see that by the time Jesus reaches Jerusalem itself, he is the centre of attention as he takes up the symbols of the messianic king and is recognised as a victorious king and saviour of the Jewish nation by the people around him. So, what does this mean for us today? Well, I'd like to take us back to the donkey for a moment. Every donkey has got a dark line that runs up the centre of its back to its mane. And there's another line that runs across its shoulders from side to side. Together, these two marks make up a cross. And when in our mind's eye, we look at Jesus riding the donkey foal into Jerusalem, that reminds us that Jesus' path was inevitably to the cross. But we're also reminded that Jesus is the Messiah, the King, and not just of Jerusalem, but the whole world. We also look at the cross and there we see Jesus, who was obedient to God his Father and humbled himself and was willingly put to death for the sake of each one of us, because it was the only way to deal with the sin that we all have. That was not the end for Jesus, however, but a new beginning, because 3 days later, Jesus rose from the dead, overcoming sin and death for each of us who put our faith in him as our personal Saviour and King. We are all invited to have a new beginning. If we put our trust in Jesus as our personal Saviour, then the Bible tells us that we will be freed from sin and will become God's new creation and will know God with us every day through his Holy Spirit. It won't always be easy. Remember Matthew 16, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me." But it will be eternally worth it. Now is a wonderful time to put your faith in Jesus as we approach Easter. And if you are considering that step of faith, then speak to a friend from Argyle who can help you. Or if you don't know anyone at the church, then please feel free to email jamie@argylecommunitychurch.org.uk. And Jamie, our pastor, will be delighted to make contact and talk and pray with you. As we approach the last week before Easter, let us all remember this journey that Jesus made, knowing that it would lead to his death and resurrection. This was a journey that he did not make for himself, but for each one of us. Let us praise God that Jesus was willing to travel that journey to the cross, and let us pray that each day, by God's help, we will make him the centre of our lives in every way. Amen.